Part A. Directions. Each item in this part consists of a brief conversation involving two speakers. Following each conversation, a third voice will ask a question. You will hear the conversations and questions only once, and they will not be written out. When you have heard each conversation and question, read the four answer choices and select the one, A, B, C, or D, that best answers the question based on what is directly stated or on what can be inferred. Then fill in the space on your answer sheet that matches the letter of the answer that you have selected. Here is an example. You will hear,
Do you think I should leave this chair against the wall or put it somewhere else?
Over by the window, I'd say.
What does the woman think the man should do? You will read, A. Open the window. B. Move the chair. C. Leave the room. D. Take a seat. From the conversation, you find out that the woman thinks the man should put the chair over by the window. The best answer to the question, what does the woman think the man should do, is B. Move the chair. You should fill in B on your answer sheet. Now let's begin with the first conversation. Number one.
Have you seen my suitcase?
I kept tripping over it, so I put it in the closet.
What does the man mean? Number two.
That's all you're having for dinner?
I had a late lunch.
What does the man imply? Number three.
I thought Marianne would have a hard time getting used to college life.
Were you ever wrong?
What is learned from this conversation about Marianne? Number four.
George, don't feel so bad. It's not your fault your brother failed that class.
I don't know. I could have encouraged him to study more.
How does George feel? Number five.
Pamela made quite a few mistakes in the laboratory.
Well, she wouldn't have if she hadn't been in such a hurry to get finished.
What does the woman say about Pamela? Number six.
Excuse me, I'm trying to get to the courthouse, and I think I'm going the wrong way. Should I have turned left on Monroe Street?
No, you're all right. Just keep going straight on 4th Avenue until you get to the post office and turn left there.
What is the woman's destination? Number seven.
Mitch and Lynn must have a lot in common since they're both economics majors.
Oh, I didn't realize that Mitch was an economics major, too.
What does the man imply? Number eight.
I've got to call Tony right away.
Yeah? How come?
What does the woman ask the man? Number nine.
So, did you have a busy afternoon, Amory?
Well, I watered the tomatoes and corn. and I did some weeding.
What did Emery do this afternoon? Number 10.
Whom should we ask to introduce the guest speaker?
What about Professor Welch?
What does the woman imply about Professor Welch? Number 11.
Would you like milk or sugar in your coffee?
Neither, thank you.
What does the woman want? Number 12.
Did you find that movie exciting?
Exciting, to put it mildly.
What does the man say about the movie? Number 13.
Doug, are you looking forward to moving this weekend?
Well, there are a couple of other ways I'd rather spend my weekend.
What does Doug mean? Number 14.
I won't be able to come to rehearsal this evening.
Arthur can't either. Maybe we should call it off.
What does the woman mean? Number 15.
There's plenty of lemonade. Have another glass.
Thanks. I believe I will.
What will the man probably do? Number 16.
Do you know where Dean Nicholson's office is?
There's a directory in the entranceway.
What does the man imply about Dean Nicholson's office? Number 17. Hotel rooms along the beach must be very expensive.
Not now. During the off-season, they're dirt cheap.
What does the man say about the hotel rooms? Number 18.
Hi, Nora. I was just walking over to the cafeteria for lunch. Care to join me?
I can't. I've got to go to a meeting. It's in the same building as the cafeteria, though.
What will Nora probably do? Number 19.
If we hurry, we'll be at the stadium in half an hour.
At best.
What does the woman mean? Number 20.
Joan is not what I'd call easygoing.
I know. People find it hard to believe that she's my sister.
What does the man imply? Number 21.
That sure is a catchy song.
You're telling me. The melody's been running through my head all week.
What can be concluded about the song? Number 22.
This stamp you found is pretty rare. I'd like to have one like it myself.
Oh, an expert, are you?
What does the man say about the woman? Number 23.
This schedule says we have to attend an orientation session before we can register.
Look at it again. That's just for new students.
What can be inferred about these two speakers? Number 24.
How's your research project coming, Mike?
So far, so good.
What does Mike mean? Number 25.
I won't be able to take a vacation this summer. I have to work.
Guess we're in the same boat.
What can be inferred about the two speakers? Number 26.
Professor Phillips' class seems pretty interesting.
I couldn't agree with you more.
What does the woman mean? Number 27.
Mind if I take your picture?
No, not at all.
What does the woman mean? Number 28.
I'm going to buy Julie a book of poems. I know she loves poetry.
But you can't just get her any book of poems.
What does the woman imply about Julie? Number 29.
We need to discuss our presentation sometime in the next few days.
Fine. How about over lunch today?
When does the woman want to talk about the presentation? Number 30.
I drove my motorcycle to work today. It was a great day for a ride.
Oh, you mean you did buy that motorcycle after all?
What had the woman assumed?
This is the end of Part A. Go on to Part B.
Now let's begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 to 34. Listen to a conversation between two friends.
Tim, did you get your ticket for the concert Friday?
I tried to. I stopped by the ticket office on the way back from campus, but they wouldn't take my check.
Why not?
The cashier said I didn't have enough identification with me. A student ID card wasn't enough. He said I needed a driver's license, too.
What happened to yours? Did you lose it or just forget to bring it with you?
I don't have one. You know me. I ride my bicycle everywhere I go. So why do I need a driver's license?
You could still get an official identification card from the state and use that to cash checks.
Where do I get one of those?
At the same place you get a driver's license, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
Is that office downtown?
No, it's out on Southland Parkway, next to the Midvale Shopping Mall.
What do you think I'll need to do to get one?
Just bring some official document that has your date of birth on it. You could use a passport, for example.
I'll ride out there tomorrow.
Good idea. And I'll tell you what, Tim. If you promise to cash a check as soon as you can, I'll let you borrow some money, and you can go get that ticket.
Number 31. According to the conversation, why was Tim unable to buy the ticket? Number 32. According to the woman, where is the Bureau of Motor Vehicles? Number 33. What does the woman suggest Tim bring when he goes to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles? Number 34. What does the woman offer to do for Tim? Questions 35 to 38. Listen to a conversation at a student health clinic.
The doctor should be able to see you in a few minutes. I just need some information from you first. What seems to be the problem?
Well, as you can see, I've got a rash on my hands and arms. I think it might be some kind of allergic reaction. My roommate just got a new cat. Maybe I'm allergic to cats.
Usually allergies to animals don't cause rashes on your hands.
Well, maybe I'm allergic to some kind of food or...
When did your rash first develop?
On Monday. By Tuesday, it was worse. And on Tuesday night, I could hardly sleep.
Tell me, have you been out in the woods lately?
Out in the woods? I went hiking Saturday. Why? Oh, I get it. You think my rash might be caused by poison ivy, right?
Well, it looks like that. The doctor can tell you for sure. Do you know if you came in contact with poison ivy?
No, but then I have no idea what poison ivy looks like.
It grows in clusters of three leaves, and the leaves are waxy looking.
Well, if I do have poison ivy, what can the doctor do for me?
He can prescribe a lotion that will relieve the itching. But if I were you, I'd go to the library and look for some color photos of poison ivy and try to avoid it the next time you go into the woods.
Number 35. What is the probable relationship between the two speakers? Number 36. According to the conversation, when did the man go hiking? Number 37. What does the woman believe is the probable source of the man's problem? Number 38. What does the woman suggest that the man do?
This is the end of Part B. Go on to Part C. Now, read along with the directions for Part C in your book as they are read to you on the tape.
Part C, Directions. This part of the test consists of several talks, each given by a single speaker. After each of these talks, there are a number of questions. You will hear each talk and question only once, and the questions are not written out. When you have heard each question, read the four answer choices and select the one, A, B, C, or D, that best answers the question based on what is directly stated or on what can be inferred. Then fill in the space on your answer sheet that matches the letter of the answer that you have selected. Here is an example. You will hear,
Students, this evening, we'll have a chance to observe a phenomenon that we've discussed several times in class. Tonight, there will be a lunar eclipse. As we've said, when an eclipse of the moon occurs, the Earth passes between the sun and the moon. Therefore, the shadow of the Earth moves across the surface of the moon and obscures it. Because you won't be looking at the sun. It is not necessary to use the special lenses and filters that you need when observing a solar eclipse. You can observe a lunar eclipse with your unaided eye, or with a telescope, and photograph it with an ordinary camera. So if the weather is not cloudy tonight, Go out and take a look at this eclipse of the moon. I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
Now here is a sample question. You will hear, in what course is this lecture probably being given? You will read, A. Philosophy, B. Meteorology, C. Astronomy, D. Photography. The lecture concerns a lunar eclipse, a topic that would typically be discussed in an astronomy class. The choice that best answers the question, in what course is this lecture probably being given, is C, astronomy. You should fill in C on your answer sheet. Here is another sample question. You will hear, according to the speaker, which of the following occurs during a lunar eclipse? You will read, A. The Earth's shadow moves across the moon. B. Clouds block the view of the moon. C. The moon moves between the Earth and the sun. D. The sun can be observed without special equipment. From the lecture, you learn that a lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth moves between the sun and the moon, and the shadow of the Earth passes across the moon. The choice that best answers the question, according to the speaker, which of the following occurs during a lunar eclipse, is A. The Earth's shadow moves across the moon. Don't forget, during actual exams, taking notes or writing in your test book is not permitted. Now let's begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 39 to 41. Listen to a talk given by a tour guide.
Welcome back to your Northwest Holidays tour bus. I hope you enjoyed your visit to Redwood National Park. We'll be leaving the park in just a few more minutes and heading for Tall Trees Lodge, where we'll spend the night. I want to tell you a little about tomorrow's destination, Crater Lake National Park. Crater Lake is located in an extinct volcano. A cone-shaped island, Wizard Island, seems to float on its surface. One of the first things you'll notice when we get there is the deep blue color of the water of the lake. The water will be that color whether the sky is clear or cloudy. Once it was thought that the color was due to an unusual mineral content, but chemical analysis showed no such thing. It's now believed that the lake water is so clear and deep that it separates and reflects the blue rays of sunlight and absorbs the other colors. Oh, and here's another interesting fact about Crater Lake. It has neither an outlet nor an inlet, yet it maintains almost exactly the same level of water, with only slight variations from season to season and year to year. Somehow, gains from snow and rain are perfectly balanced by losses from evaporation and seepage. We should be arriving at Crater Lake early tomorrow afternoon. We'll be spending the rest of the day in the park, and then on to our next stop, the city of Portland, Oregon. For now, sit back and relax, and we'll be at our hotel in about 20 minutes.
Number 39. Where does this conversation take place? Number 40. According to the speaker, which of the following makes the water of Crater Lake appear to be such an intense shade of blue? Number 41. What does the speaker say about the water level of Crater Lake? Questions 42 to 46. Listen to a lecture given in a U.S. history course.
Good morning, students. Today we'll be continuing to talk about the development of rapid communications in the United States. No discussion of communications is complete without a mention of a particularly dramatic means of delivering the mail, the Pony Express. It was founded in 1860, the year before the Civil War, to carry mail from St. Joseph, Missouri, to the gold fields of California. Racing across Nebraska, Wyoming, Utah, and Nevada, these horsemen covered 2,000 miles in 10 days. Every 10 miles, there was a relay station where a fresh horse waited. Each man rode a total of 5 relays, that's 50 miles, before he was replaced by a fresh rider. The riders galloped summer and winter, day and night, through rain and wind and snow. Now, let me read to you from a newspaper advertisement that was used to recruit Pony Express riders. Wanted: thin, wiry young fellows, preferably orphans. Can you imagine yourself answering an ad for a job where orphans were preferred? That should give you some idea of the nature of the work. Only 18 months after the Pony Express was founded, the Transcontinental Telegraph was opened and put the company out of business. It had been losing money anyway. In its day, though, it provided an extremely useful service. Any questions before we go on?
Number 42. What has the class been studying? Number 43. According to the speaker, what was the final destination of Pony Express riders? Number 44. According to the speaker, how many miles did each rider cover before being replaced by another rider? Number 45. The speaker would probably use which of the following words to describe the work of Pony Express riders? Number 46. According to the speaker, which of the following caused the end of the Pony Express? Questions 47 to 50. Listen to a talk given at a meeting of the Drama Club.
As president of the University Drama Club, I'd like to welcome all our members. Today, we have a special guest speaker, Molly Quinn. Molly was a member of the Drama Club herself when she was a student here, and she went on to great success. First, she won parts in several New York plays. And then she made guest appearances on a number of television shows. Most recently, she completed work on her first role in a feature movie. She also hopes to start directing soon. She told me that she might try to get a start by directing television commercials. Molly is going to talk to us today about getting into the acting profession. But before we hear from her, I want to remind everyone that next weekend, the drama department is holding tryouts for parts in the play A Doll's House. So mark that on your calendars. Given her own experience, I'm sure Molly would agree that appearing in campus plays is a great way to learn the basics of acting. Now, let's give Molly a big welcome.
Number 47. What is the speaker's primary purpose in giving the talk? Number 48. When is this talk being given? Number 49. According to the speaker, what is Molly Quinn's most recent accomplishment? Number 50. The speaker implies that Molly Quinn did which of the following when she was a student?
This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Stop work on Section 1.
Practice Test 3, Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Find the directions for this section of the test in your book and read along with them as they are read to you on the tape. This section tests your ability to comprehend spoken English. It is divided into three parts, each with its own directions. During actual exams, you are not permitted to turn the page during the reading of the directions or to take notes at any time.